In case of emergency, nuke Iran. You know, like break glass, only murder people by the millions.
Down in the polls, just nuke Iran. This is news from Radio EcoShock. According to Seymour Hersh, in April's New Yorker magazine, a faction in the Bush administration has plans to use nuclear bombs against targets in Iran. The pretext is to stop the Iranians from developing a nuclear bomb. The precedent breaks 60 years of nuclear peace to drop the first atomic weapon in anger since the incineration of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. 60 years of marches, lobbying, and struggle by people all over the world opposed to nuclear weapons might come undone soon. The president who brought you secret detention camps, torture, spying, and unprovoked war against a country has plans for a new atomic age of terror. In a world of conspiracy and violence, we'll cover four major theories of why America will nuke Iran. First, the Jewish people are terrified that Iran will wipe out Israel with nuclear missiles, a horrible second Holocaust. Then, there are stories that Vice President Cheney has plans to nuke Iran following any 9/11 type incident in America, whether Iran did it or not. Third, we'll look at the hidden plotline of oil, how Iran is threatening America's passion to control Middle East oil and the American dollar itself. Finally, the neocons from the Council on Foreign Relations think America shouldn't stop with a nuclear attack on Iranian atomic plants and labs. These intellectuals and their banking friends see a great opportunity. Thinking they now have nuclear supremacy, America should just nuke every atomic weapon site in the world, including the Russians and the Chinese. Total victory! Total domination! All published in the March-April issue of the magazine Foreign Affairs. We'll get to that. Let's begin with Seymour Hersh speaking to ABC Radio in Australia.
If you really want to guarantee that you're going to get rid of the major underground facility in Iran that's believed to be tied to nuclear activity, a place called Natanz, which is 75 feet underground, if you want to be sure, the only way to be sure is with a tactical nuke. This is one of the options given in an option paper by the Joint Chiefs of Staff to the White House. Nobody was advocating it. They were just saying 100% guarantee. Where it becomes interesting, the Joint Chiefs, in one of its subsequent papers, wanted to withdraw that option because, of course, it's madness. A nuclear weapon in the Middle East to an Arab Muslim country, my God. And the White House wouldn't withdraw it. And that's the issue, that the White House, some people there, still wanted to have this option.
Mr. Hersh also revealed the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, not to mention his Pulitzer Prize revelations of the My Lai massacre during the Vietnam War. You can find more in Slate Magazine, an article by Fred Kaplan, April 10th, titled, Are We Really Going to Nuke Iran? Fred Kaplan wonders if this is just another version of Richard Nixon's Let Them Think I'm a Madman strategy in Vietnam. We saw how successful that was. Iran isn't buying it, and they have a president who also qualifies as a madman. Madmen, my friends, are threatening the Earth. This nuclear bravado, perhaps purposely leaked by the United States, is meant to hammer on Europe to make them consider sanctions seriously. We saw how well sanctions worked in Iraq. Meanwhile, alleged high-level sources within the U.S. military say there is active resistance to the idea, and some generals will resign if the government moves toward the nuclear option. In the event an order is given to drop a nuclear weapon for the first time since Hiroshima, we may all end up hoping a military coup will displace Bush and his neocon gang. Our time's already so desperate that the world prays the military men will revolt, as they did against Hitler in 1944. Of course, the nuclear story may be a cover to make us all feel better when the Bush boys attack Iran with conventional weapons. We'll all be relieved they didn't start a nuclear war yet. According to Hersh, the Navy has been flying simulated nuclear bombing missions for more than a year, launched from aircraft carriers in the Arabian Sea. They are practicing delivery of weapons of mass destruction.
Plot number one.
Drop the bomb to stop the bomb.
Let's start with Israel. In 2002, Bush declared Iran to be part of the Axis of Evil, a phrase coined by the Canadian speechwriter David Frum. News about a nuclear attack on Iran has been brewing since the start of 2005. In March 30, 2005, Scott Ritter, the former weapons inspector in Iraq, wrote Sleepwalking to Disaster in Iran. It was published in the Arab news agency Al Jazeera. Contacted by someone close to the Bush administration, Ritter claims he was warned of a plan to attack Iran in June 2005 because the Israelis were worried about Iran's nuclear enrichment program. Well, now, that enrichment program has produced its first batch of weapons-grade uranium. The heat is on. Since the Iranian president said Israel should be wiped off the map, while questioning the Holocaust and pushing Jewish hatred, the Israeli and Jewish people everywhere have plenty of cause for sleepless nights. The Iranians have already demonstrated a missile capable of delivering a nuclear payload to Israel or even to southern Europe. Israel's Minister of Defense of the day, Shaul Mofaz, said, quote, "Under no circumstances would Israel be able to tolerate nuclear weapons in Iranian possession," end quote. Israel itself is thought to have at least 200 nuclear weapons. Contemplating the possibility that a few nuclear missiles could render the Holy Land into atomic dust, being such a small country, Israel loudly announced they had refitted conventional submarines with underwater nuclear missile launch capabilities. Obviously, if Israel was struck by weapons of mass destruction, the Jewish state would respond from under the sea, wiping out large Muslim cities and holy places in the Middle East. We have a precedent for Israeli first strike against Muslim atomic power. In the mid-1980s, the Israeli Air Force used modified American planes to bomb a nuclear power facility in Iraq, built by France, just days before the reactor was due to start up. The Bush administration may be in a forced race with Israel to destroy Iranian nuclear facilities before the Israelis do it. According to Scott Ritter, Israel had a plan to destroy Iranian nuclear facilities since 2003. These relationships are so complex, they may be moving beyond anyone's control. When nuclear fear sets policy, policy goes mad. Ritter said, "The American media today is sleepwalking toward an American war with Iran."
We do have a saying in America, if you're in a hole, stop digging. Not sure I should have said that.
Plot number two.
Our second nukem plot is not based on Israel, but arises from American internal problems. The Project for a New American Century, or PNAC, already described the need for a new Pearl Harbor to instigate a stronger state. Now, the president and his gun-toting buddy are so low in the polls, they may think only of another 9/11-type attack to bring back public support. We know that the Bush Insider Gang plotted an attack on Iraq even before they came into office. 9/11 allowed them to do it, even though Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. If there's another attack, says intelligence analyst Philip Giraldi, Vice President Cheney has nuclear battle plans ready to attack Iran, whether they were guilty or not. They are waiting for an excuse to seize total control of Middle East oil and to repay the Iranians for seizing the American embassy in 1979. We hear more about the Cheney nuke mousetrap from right-wing sources, people you would expect to be Bush supporters. For example, Justin Logan of the Cato Institute at www.justinlogan.com reprints key paragraphs from Philip Giraldi's article in American Conservative magazine, which is not available online. In print, Giraldi says, quote, "The Pentagon, acting under instructions from Vice President Dick Cheney's office, has tasked the United States Strategic Command, STRATCOM, with drawing up a contingency plan to be employed in response to another 9/11-type terrorist attack on the United States. The plan includes a large-scale air assault on Iran, employing both conventional and tactical nuclear weapons. Within Iran, there are more than 450 major strategic targets, including numerous suspected nuclear weapons program development sites. Many of the targets are hardened or are deep underground and could not be taken out by conventional weapons, hence the nuclear option. As in the case of Iraq, the response is not conditional on Iran actually being involved in the act of terrorism directed against the United States." Several senior Air Force officers involved in the planning are reportedly appalled at the implications of what they are doing, that Iran is being set up for an unprovoked nuclear attack, but no one is prepared to damage his career by posing any objections. End quote.
The Cheney doctrine from last summer is there's going to be a new 9/11. It's going to be blamed on Iran automatically,
right,
and it will be the basis of an atomic attack on Iran, and that's the perspective under which these people have been working. And it has a wag the dog component, of course. It gets the crumbling of the Bush administration off the front page.
Some of these so-called hardened targets are right in the capital of the country, Tehran. Shall we nuke the capital of Iran?
This would please the Osama bin Laden crowd. As Sunnis, they loathe the Iranian Shiites almost as much as Americans. If Sunni radicals could stage another 9/11 incident, the American Goliath will nuke their enemies for them.
Yeah, well, you just leave a bunch of dead people behind and all their relatives angry.
Let's hear from Ghilardi himself, speaking with Scott Horton, an anti-war activist at anti-war.com, speaking on the quite conservative Republican Broadcasting Network on July 26, 2005.
And I'm talking with Philip Giraldi. He's a former CIA counterterrorism official, now writes deep background for the American Conservative magazine. And, sir, you were saying before the break.
Well, basically, some officers in the Air Force are talking about a contingency plan that is being drawn up at the instructions of the White House, more specifically the Office of the Vice President. And the plan essentially is for a nuclear response against Iran if there is another major terrorist incident in the United States, something along the lines of 9/11. The thinking, the scary thing about this, the Dr. Strangelove aspect of it is that the thinking that's going down here is basically that, you would use the opportunity of a terrorist attack to take out Iran as basically a threat in that region. I don't have to explain to you that the policy, in that region has been insane right from 4 years ago.
Dick Cheney's got a gun. Dick Cheney's got a gun. The safety's come undone. He's squinting in the Texas sun. What did our leader do? Who did put a bullet through? They say when Cheney goes to Texas, you'll find him hungry.
This Cheney has a plan chatter became intense last summer in 2005. Now it's back. Why?
Plot number three.
We move to a nuclear motive that American media don't seem to cover. It's all about the control of oil and money. Deep in their own hardened mental bunkers, executives of oil companies, chemical makers, and automakers want to own Middle East oil supplies forever, whatever it takes.
It's all about the price of oil. It's all about the price of oil.
We'll hear a theory that the real motive to attack Iran is not the protection of Israel, but a desperate attempt to stop an Iranian oil trading scheme that could jeopardize the American dollar and reroute American oil to China instead. Our speaker here is Webster Tarpley, a so-called 9/11 conspiracy theorist and author of 9/11 Synthetic Terror. We have to be careful with Webster Tarpley, as he was for many years the public spokesman for the Lyndon LaRouche Group. LaRouche was hostile to environmentalism. He named Greenpeace as his enemy, hired his people out to the nuclear industry as spies, and admired German Nazi scientists just a little too much. LaRouche ended up being jailed by George Bush Sr. for defrauding old ladies of their fortunes. Tarpley seems to have reinvented himself, although he is part of a group which includes talk show host Alex Jones, who still interpret the world by the LaRouchean idea, a conspiracy of global control by elites that include European royalty, the Rockefellers, and of course, the Jewish Rothschilds. Nevertheless, speaking about the American dollar and Iran, Tarpley seems to make sense. Let's give him a listen.
And that brings us to the big threat, which is this Iranian oil bourse, which was supposed to open on March 20th, which has been delayed by various kinds of, I think, technical difficulties, political difficulties that the U.S. and the British have thrown up. Remember that this would be the first open market or exchange or bourse since 1945, really, where you could buy oil for a currency other than the dollar. It would be the euro. Since the end of the Second World War, the rule has been if you want oil, you must have dollars, meaning that whoever controls the dollars, i.e. the U.S. Federal Reserve and Treasury and the London Euro dollar market, if they had the dollars, they control the oil, and it doesn't matter so much who nominally or seems to own the oil. It's really in the pocket of the U.S. and the British, and this, of course, has been another way to create completely artificial demand for dollars by saying If you want to buy oil from Iran or Saudi Arabia or Indonesia, you've got to have dollars. That's the only way. That means that there's a tremendous demand for dollars that that otherwise wouldn't be there.
So, if Iran were allowed to create a new way to sell oil in euros or just straight trade for consumer goods from someone like, China, the financial stability of America might be endangered by a further decay or even a run on the dollar. Better bomb them first. The Chinese recently sealed a deal with Iran to buy $100 billion worth of oil. Will intense competition for oil start an undeclared war with the United States and China held in proxy countries like Iran, just as America and the Soviet Union fought in Angola and Vietnam?
Plot number four.
Finally, we come to an open and published plot where America uses thousands of nuclear weapons to neutralize all others and gain total control of the world. This may sound like something from the old cartoon Pinky and the Brain, but it comes from the periodical Foreign Affairs, the mouthpiece of the elite intellectuals, politicians, and bankers on the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR. Webster Tarpley, speaking at the beginning of April 2006.
But even more immediately, this question of the nuclear first strike, the article, and
yes.
I urge people
Ouch.
To read this because this is absolutely chilling. Foreign Affairs, the issue is March-April 06. It's called The Rise of U.S. Nuclear Primacy by Keir A. Lieber, L-I-E-B-E-R, and Daryl G. Press, P-R-E-S-S. One of them, Lieber is from Notre Dame, Daryl G. Press, University of Pennsylvania. And they're telling you that the Russian nuclear deterrent is now decaying. It's collapsing, they say. It has been radically cut in all three of its legs.
Standing back just a little, it is amazing how the United States is going from productivity to rank decay and the hubris of empire in just a generation. It's like watching the Romans fall in a couple of decades. So predictable, but with nuclear weapons ripe with terminally ugly possibilities. For these American intellectual thugs writing in Foreign Affairs, so distant from the seared bodies in Hiroshima, Russia's actions to disarm are seen as decay, and China's hesitancy to spend billions on the lunacy of horrible nuclear weapons, and rather to educate and feed their people, is seen as weakness, as an invitation to bomb the hell out of this historically peaceful people. In a paper presented at a Berlin conference on the Middle East in March, Colonel Sam Gardner, a military analyst who taught at the National War College before retiring from the Air Force in 1987, described the necessary targets to neutralize nuclear technology in Iran. There were 400 targets, and that didn't include the chemical plants and other goodies the U.S. and Israel would like to remove. Hirsch says that military men, as high as the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are now advising the president against using nuclear weapons in any form. They're opposed by the Defense Science Board, a contraption whose members are all appointed by the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld himself. This board thinks science can deliver a tidy nuclear weapon with limited radiation to use anywhere. Just a few little nuclear bombs, no big worry. The Bush administration is advised by men appointed by the Bush administration. They listen only to themselves. Many of these men who approve of helpful nuclear weapons have been appointed to key posts in the administration. As Hirsch tells us, they include, quote, Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor, Stephen Cambone, the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, and Robert Joseph, the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security. All these were members of the Defense Science Board. When nuclear bombing to get your way becomes state policy, there are strange twists. America itself taught Iran how to build the bomb. The crazy scheme, approved by President Bill Clinton, delivered the blueprints for a nuclear bomb to Iranian physicists. It was called Operation Merlin. The joke was, there was a hidden error in the plans that would kill the bomb makers. But Iran was not in a vacuum. They consulted the Russians, who corrected the error for them. Now the plans were complete. Thank you, America! This is a central fact of all nuclear madness. Those who develop new weapons of horror always leak and lead the way for many others to follow. The weapons come home. They blow a hole in our lives and our psyches and our cities. The radiation is shared by everyone on the globe and by countless innocent generations to come. This crop of madmen take us to the brink of species suicide. When the first nuclear bomb is dropped, no matter how small and tidy, and a mushroom cloud appears anywhere in the Middle East, well, it's time to meet your new friends, the Hezbollah, the Army of God, who managed to defeat Israel and move them out of Lebanon. These are the people who will be soon arriving on America's door with whatever weapons they may find, whether nuclear or biological. The genie is out of the box. Anybody can make a nuke for any reason. No city can feel safe. Here is the father of physics, of our knowledge of the universe and the bomb, Albert Einstein.
The physicists who participated in forging the most formidable and dangerous weapon of all time cannot desist from warning. And warning again, we cannot and should not slacken in our efforts to make the nations of the world, and especially their governments, aware of the unspeakable disaster they are certain to provoke, unless they change their attitude towards each other and towards the task of shaping the future.
The physicists who participate in watching the most formidable and dangerous weapon of all times cannot resist from warning and warning again. We cannot and should not slacken in our efforts to make the nations of the world, and especially their governments, aware of the unspeakable disaster they are certain to provoke, unless they change their attitudes toward each other and toward the task of shaping the future. So said Albert Einstein. Nuclear technology is out there for anyone to find. Crude plans were on the internet for years. Children learn Einsteinian secrets at their parents' knees. University physics classes create new potential bomb makers every day in many parts of the world. The black market is filled with people selling plans and materials. The only and last remaining dike against awful incineration is this. No one has been crazy enough to use one. No one, it seems, until now. This wake-up call to those who love life and peace comes from Radio EcoShock at www.ecoshock.org. Tune in to free, full-time, all-environment radio.
Britain's Foreign Secretary Jack Straw has today commented on the reports of using nuclear weapons to attack Iran. He called such a plan completely nuts.